Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Journeying into the final hour, a long journey of fascinating stories, points and counterpoints with Stanton Friedman and John Alexander about UFO secrecy and the ramifications with Gene and Chris on the Paracast. So John, as we broke, you were about to say they suffered severe radiation, but the level of radiation that would normally kill people but didn't. Is that what you're saying?
Correct.
Okay.
Although one of the women, Betty Cash, I think, died from leukemia, but like 20 years later.
Yeah.
But that is something that you would might get or contract because of radiation poisoning, right?
Yes. I mean, but the problem is when you're dealing with an N of one, it is hard to attribute and say, yes, it definitely was this particular case that caused it. But to say that they were severely injured, absolutely true. In the lawsuit that followed, a guy by the name of, well, the Air Force got it, and they threw it to the Army. They said the hooks were ours. And so a guy by the name of Colonel George Saran is the one who ended up investigating the case, did an excellent job, went out and looked at all of the potential aircraft. There was only one. Well, one of the key issues is the date. By the way, the same date as Bentwaters, at least one of the Bentwaters incidents. But the point is, it's between Christmas and New Year's. And as most people know, we're in the military, and particularly at that time, you didn't do anything between Christmas and New Year's. This was kind of a stand-down time. You're at usually half staffing. People are away on vacation. And you certainly don't test it near major metropolitan areas. And we
have
checked
sure.
All of the helicopters. You know, they just didn't exist, which to me is one of the more interesting pieces of the puzzle is to, you know, were they were there? Were they, you know, holographic projections? Were they, you know, the ability to cause the people who were there to see things that weren't there? And they weren't the only ones who saw them. Other people saw the helicopters as well.
Yeah. Well, I remember reading somewhere that somebody did an investigation on the deployment and the basing of double-bladed, you know, Sikorsky or Chinook-type helicopters, and that it would take almost the entire southwestern United States' complement of these choppers to add up to the amount that we're seeing in various formations around this event. So you think possibly there was some sort of holographic?
That's an exaggeration.
I think so.
Really? How many did they say that they saw? How many did they say they saw? It was close to 50.
22 or 23. Well, no, there were 22 or 23 total helicopters. Some of them were hooks.
Okay. All right. So, well, let's move on. That's one that I've always felt was one of our most compelling cases.
There's no doubt that it happened.
No. Yeah. I mean, radiation sickness isn't caused by confabulation and you know, wishful thinking, believe me. But here's an interesting question that's brought up by Toxic Surf, one of our longtime posters. And they ask, does it seem to you lately that the mainstream media and the media in general are covering and propagating the myth/reality of UFOs and the ETH to a greater degree than in the past? That's part one. And do you draw any conclusions as to why and if someone, in quotes, has pushed them in this direction? Or is it just that right now aliens are selling? I think that's a good question.
I suggest they don't know history. But, you know, if you go down and have who's the most popular president, you'll find that folks that were 30, 40 years ago don't even rate on there. You just remember things that are – but go back into the 50s and look at the movies of the 50s and all the television programs and all of that.
Well, I think something else is involved here, too. I think there's an old line from a German physicist, Max Planck, that new ideas come to be accepted, not because their opponents come to believe in them, but because their opponents die and a new generation grows up that's accustomed to them. He didn't say understands. So one thing that's happened greatly in the last few years is this whole business with exoplanets. You know, for a long time, we thought our solar system was the only group of planets in the whole darn universe, practically. And now we're finding them all over the place. There was just an announcement about 50 more exoplanets. And we have the Kepler satellite. And the contrast, there's an interesting change in numbers. The SETI people said there might be 8,000 places that could be sending signals in our galaxy, big galaxy. And now the Kepler people are saying, gee, there could be 8 billion. Because everywhere you turn, there are planets, big ones, small ones, you know, dense ones, not so dense ones, all kinds. And what this has changed, I think, people's attitudes. If you talked about other life, you were looked at as, you know, that's a little crazy. You're talking space travel and other beings. Why should we even think of such things? Well, now that we've been out there, and now that we suddenly realize there isn't anything special about our solar system, except to us, I presume, then I think it's changed the public attitudes. I think the younger generation has grown up with an entirely different mindset than mine and John's did about life out there and ever being contact and all the rest of that stuff. So yeah. I think the press coverage has been somewhat better, more interested. They're covering the stories because they know it sells. You know, simple as that.
Well, and, yeah, that's one of the key issues, is that they go with what sells.
Yeah, yeah. And life in outer space, wow, you know. And part of that, too, is the world is a miserable place right now, isn't it, for the last couple of years? No, I mean, seriously, in terms of overall, isn't everything great? Well, nobody's saying that. Everybody's saying everything's terrible.
It's getting grim, and it's getting grimmer.
What I'll say is,
if you look out there now, the probability of intelligent life developing out there, statistical probability, almost says it must be out there someplace.
Well, yeah, you can't.
Wait a minute, hold on, Stan. John just brought up a really good point. I think most of our viewing audience has a pretty good handle on Stanton Friedman's assertions about the extraterrestrial hypothesis, and I think it's safe to say, Stan, that you think that these objects that are TRUFOs, in other words, UFOs that are truly unexplained and from somewhere else, that your feeling is that they're from elsewhere in this galaxy or in this space-time continuum.
In this galaxy. As a matter of fact, I zero in on our local neighborhood.
Right.
I get a little tired with people talking about the galaxy, a couple hundred billion stars and 100,000 light years across.
Well, there's definitely some sort of intelligent life out there. I think we can all agree on that. But do you think that that intelligent life is responsible for thousands of years of interaction and overflights of this particular little, you know, orb floating in space? Do you think that these are ETs coming here for whatever reason?
Well, I think it's been going on for a long time. Yeah, look at Barry Downing's book, The Bible and Flying Saucers, Old and New Testament, all kinds of cases we'd have to say typical UFOs. I think it's a standard practice for any advanced civilization to be concerned about its own survival and security. That means you check out the primitives in the neighborhood every so often to make sure they can't sneak up on you. And, you know, before 1900, remember, on this planet, there was no flight, no nuclear, not much radio, you know, all kinds of things didn't exist. But remember, Second World War, we killed 50 million of our own kind. We destroyed 1,700 cities. We had nuclear weapons. We had rockets packed with explosives. We talk about progress. Wow. In 1942, a big bomb was a 10-ton blockbuster. Made a pretty big dent in the ground. Okay, 45, we had our first atomic bombs. We're talking 15,000 tons of TNT equivalent. 7 years later, 1952, our first H-bomb, 10 million tons of TNT equivalent. Now, the key factor here is, once you know that a society has figured out how its star works, which is nuclear fusion, and its little brother, nuclear fission, suddenly they're in a position to develop propulsion systems that will get them out to bother you. We did that with the Navy, for example. First bomb, 45. 1956, we had the Nautilus. Goes around the world underwater without coming to the surface. Many people aren't aware that we have nuclear-powered aircraft carriers that can operate for 18 years without refueling.
And I'll tell you what, we'll go into more of those 18 years, but we won't take 18 years to explain it. We're talking to John Alexander, Stanton Friedman, with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
You You expect professional service from your doctor, your accountant, and even the girl who takes your morning coffee order. Why not from your domain registrar, too? Namecheap.com provides stellar service with no sneaky upselling. We offer more features and security options for your website than there are ways to order a latte. And new domains come with WhoisGuard to protect your personal info. At Namecheap.com, you can get your domain for as low as $2.99. Now is a great time to get to know Namecheap.com.
Neighbors, do you need to bring the final touches to your latest podcasts? Clean up the soundtrack of that holiday video. Mix together a few takes from your last jamming session. Process the audio files of the video game you're creating to sound just right. But look no further. Whatever audio-related task you're looking to perform, Amadeus Pro is the tool for you. It's the Swiss Army knife of sound editing. Go to HairerSoft.com. HairerSoft.com.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2233 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com. Or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
You know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health, and most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of most alkaline minerals available. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins and acid, helping you to regain your energy and health. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body to rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen, and raises the pH of your body to optimal levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news at theparacast.com. That's news at theparacast.com. And if you'd like to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out at iTunes.
It is not 18 years later. It's just 3 minutes later on the Paracast with Gene and Chris. Continuing this long discussion with John Alexander and Stanton Friedman. Let's move on a little bit here, unless you want to finish your previous point, Stan.
Well, I just want to say that I worked on fusion propulsion systems back in the early 60s. If we wanted to spend the money, I'm not saying we should. I'm saying if we want to spend the money, we could build a star-traveling rocket using nuclear fusion. 10 million times as much energy per particle kicked out the back end as in a chemical rocket. Now, if you were an alien, when you look at a group like ours with that 50 million people killed in one war and with a $1 trillion military budget this year, while how many thousand kids die every single day of preventable disease or starvation, you would be concerned about the idiots on planet Earth, I think. You can't ignore them.
Yeah, I want to take it a slightly different direction, and that is I think the ETH only answers a small portion of the observations. And part of the problem is when you start talking about UFOs, I don't know what you mean, because we got little balls of light that are flying around. We got big craft that, you know, more than a mile across that are seen in various sensor systems and everything in between. And it's that everything in between that's a problem. There are so many different kinds of things that are seen. Now, we've also talked about interaction. The point is there have been interactions between humans and sentient beings as long as we've had recorded history. Does that make them E.T.? Don't know. I mean, as you know,
no, but
I am in the book, it says we're not even asking the right questions yet.
Well, I think, though, if you were to come to Indian Head, New Hampshire, oh, it'll probably be before this program is broadcast now that I think about it, but there's the 50th anniversary being celebrated of the Betty and Barney Hill case. And there's a case, took place 50 years ago, obviously, that seems to be an encounter with aliens and where we have some explanation after the star map work of where those guys might originate. And that gives you a whole different view of our place in the scheme of things, too. The two stars that are implicated there, interesting, the closest to each other pair of sun-like stars in our entire local neighborhood, they're only 39.3 light years from here, but from each other, only about an eighth of a light year apart. So you have an entirely different situation where you got a neighbor just down the street, as opposed to us being 4.3 light years from the next star over. A key point is that they're a billion years older than the sun. And just down the street, there are 1,000 stars within 50 light years of us. That's why I talked about local neighborhood. I don't care about out in the galaxy somewhere.
All right. Well, Stan Friedman is someone who has worked on nuclear propulsion systems early in your career. How do we get there?
Yeah.
How do they get to us? Do they have warp drive, wormholes, any of these extra techniques that allow you to get from here to there? Not in years, but in hours or days?
Well, remember that at 1G acceleration, it only takes a year to get close to the speed of light. But at 99.99% of the speed of light, you can go 37 light years in 6 months pilot time. Go out, come back, marry your granddaughter's best friend.
Yeah, but you're talking about pilot time. I'm talking about the actual physical time.
Well, the pilot time is one measure of time.
Sure, but I'm talking about the physical amount of time. Is there warp drive? Can they do warp drive? Can they go into wormholes, black holes, whatever? Do they have these tricks? Can these tricks
all I know is that when you can give particles 10 million times as much energy per particle as you can get in a chemical rocket, you're going to expect some improvement. You know, the world has changed. Look at computers today. I can remember, as I'm sure John can, 64K was a nice memory to have. And then it was 64M, and now it's 64G.
it's a thumb drive with 14 gig.
Yeah.
16 gig.
Impressed. I'm really impressed by those things, but if you gave me one, I couldn't duplicate it. That's for sure.
Well, John, where do you come down on this? You were starting. You had me going there for a second when you were saying
too
there's too
simple.
Much diversity amongst
too
all
simple.
These.
Yeah.
I agree.
The ETH is just too simple. Too many different things going on. I'll throw out one. I have asked repeatedly. I haven't come up with a sponsor yet. So what I think we need is a step back, a conference where you'd have people who have had a breadth of experience. What we need to put up on the wall is here are the observations, and to do that without attributing value, meaning it's not necessarily a UFO or cryptozoology or, you know, whatever the field may be. Here are the things that we observe, and then start to do the macro pattern analysis. As I mentioned earlier, we have throughout recorded history of various kinds of interactions with beings. Now, some of them are pretty strange. You know, the whole stories of fairies. I've been in Hawaii for a long time, the Menahuni, and they take those as absolutely real. I just came back from Brazil. We were doing in Curitiba and some interesting study, our ceremonies down there. And I was in a room with people who were swearing we had creepy crawlers that were coming in and visiting us. I didn't see them myself, but these people were saying, yep, we're having interactions with them right now.
What are they called, Jim?
I just called them creepy crawlers. The ceremony, that particular one, we had saw ones on Salta Daime, and this was on Ato Guarani. I might mention, if you want to see some of this, it's actually on my website. But it very, very strange, and we're talking a pretty
whole realm of
group.
John, you're getting into the whole realm of human consciousness and specific compounds that have the ability, in some people's interpretation, of opening up new aspects of consciousness and the perception of reality, or you know, a beyond reality. Now, do you think that this plays into the UFO phenomenon?
I think they're totally related.
I'll allow a little room there. Remember, the question is not what are UFOs. The question in my mind is, are any UFOs intelligently controlled extraterrestrial spacecraft? My answer is yes. Most are not. I don't care. Just like most isotopes aren't fissionable. So what? You know,
We would agree generally on that, yes.
And I wanted
some
to get
are,
John,
but it doesn't explain all. And the problem that I see in the UFO community is they want to put it into all or nothing.
Right. Yeah.
Simple
answer. One size fits all answer, which I really have a problem with, as listeners of this show know.
How about John's website? I wanted to copy that down so I can go to it immediately.
Well, thank you. It's www.johnbalexander.com.
Was that B or D?
B, bravo.
Alexander. Just dot com.
Okay. While you're writing that down,
StanFriedman.com.
Stan, we have to get those names before other people get them. Otherwise, they will not be available. You'll have to get StanFriedman.xxx. Hey, we'll get into more of this with John Alexander and Stanton Friedman with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast. The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Big Berkey water filters are in high demand. Storable foods are also in high demand. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has always kept our focus on the Berkey water filter products. But increasingly, our customers have been asking for storable foods. After months of research, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com now offers great-tasting, long-lasting, storable foods. These ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches. All you do is just add water. And because they're sealed so well, they come with a 25-year shelf life. Combine our Berkey water filters, which are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water with our storable foods, and you have a winning combination. Remember, we offer free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today.
Hey Brian, if you could do just one thing today to ensure your family's food security, what would it be?
That's easy, Bill. I'd head straight to soupbeansurvival.com.
Soupbeansurvival.com?
I know, Bill, it sounds crazy, but this ancient secret has been around for over 8,000 years, and it truly is nature's super survival food.
Really, Brian? The number one survival food? Well, certainly the forgotten survival food.
Absolutely, Bill. The folks at soupbeansurvival.com scoured our planet to find the very best heirloom seeds, to truly find nature's super survival food.
Brian, these aren't grocery store beans, are they?
No way, Bill. You're not going to find these beans in any grocery store. These are the absolute highest quality beans in the world. Visit soupbeansurvival.com. That's soupbeansurvival.com for all the information you're going to need for nature's super survival food.
Hi, this is Nick Pope. You're listening to the Paracast.
With John Alexander and Stanton Friedman joining Gene and Chris on the Paracast, covering a whole range of subjects related to UFOs, secrecies, what we know, what we didn't know. Chris, you're about to frame a question.
I was, and this is a question from, again, one of our forum listeners and posters, Williams 520, who's a fairly new addition to the Paracast Forum family. And he asked, what does Stanton think about the idea that UFOs maybe, or, you know, he says UFOs in a blanket statement, but let's say some UFOs may be from another dimension or from the future, or possibly some sort of race or races, I would add intelligences, that are already here.
Well, I'm not saying there are no such creatures. That's not the question I'm asking. I'm asking, are any intelligently controlled extraterrestrial spacecraft? My answer is yes. Are any secret government systems? My answer is yes. Are any figments of the imagination? My answer is yes. I'm focused on the ones that indicate technology from afar, because if we had it, we'd be using it, because we developed such technology for military purposes. Nobody else can afford to spend the money, frankly. So I allow room for all kinds of weird stuff, but it's not my focus. I can only be spread so thin. I mean, I'm only 77. How much time do I have left?
Which trip?
Good question. I love it.
Well, I said, which I happen to get into the reincarnation issue, which is probably a different conversation.
Well, yeah, it's an interesting one to me, too. And, you know, someday we'll talk about that. But I don't talk about that in my books, though. I got enough trouble sticking to the flying saucers and cosmic Watergate and fusion propulsion. And let me throw one other idea in here, that this is at a special point in history. You know, we gave Copernicus credit for taking man out of the center of the universe. The center of the universe is the sun. And remember, his book was banned for 300 years because everybody knew the Earth was the middle of the universe. Okay, Now we know the sun isn't the middle of the universe. It's a huge place out there. There are all kinds of other heavenly bodies and not so heavenly bodies out there. And we need to look at things in an entirely different way. And one of the ways that's a problem is our ego. Suddenly, we're not the big shots we'd like to think we are. And I know there are people who think the world was created in 4004 B.C. I think it was October 25th. I'm not sure. You know, and so that wasn't very long ago. But if you say you left out six zeros, then it makes man's place in the scheme of things entirely different. And I think every civilization has to go through a period of time when they think they're it, because they don't have any connection with any place else. They don't have any big telescopes. They don't have space travel, all the rest of that. And then there comes a point where it's, uh-oh, we're not on the top of the heap. Some people have trouble with that, I think.
I have a question that occurs to me, Stan, because a lot of the viewpoints you've expressed, you have discussed over a number of years with different levels of evidence. Are there any assumptions that maybe you had about UFOs 20 or 30 years ago that have changed in any way?
Yeah, I probably have focused much more today than I did 20 or 30 years ago on the fact that we are a threat to the neighborhood, that any advanced civilization would want to quarantine us, not join with us, that our history would give anybody concern, not just because of killing 50 million people in the Second World War, and I know a lot of young people have no idea when I say that. They look at me like I'm crazy. What do you mean? Some woman with a college education told me no more than 3 or 4 million people were killed during the war. She's got a little learning to do. So I focus much more on that sort of thing than I used to. And my understanding of government has changed a bit, too. And John and I kind of come to different conclusions about that. I think there's an MJ-12 out there with a different name, of course. But and I think they're running that show. Whether we'll ever find out, I don't know. I don't expect any deathbed confessions. Do you, John?
Well, I of course, don't think there's anything to confess to. But,
yeah, I understand.
Yeah. But, no, I mean, if you want a different discussion, we can talk about where government is headed and that. And I have rather dire predictions, and we've entered a plutocracy, and I think we're approaching the certainly the end of capitalism, if not democracy, as we've known it.
Those things scare me, too, and I must admit that. And, you know, where do we go from here in this new world of ours with its new technology and instant communications all over the planet? I mean, the Internet, if you'd have talked about the Internet 60 years ago, they'd have put you in the loony bin, John, don't you think?
Oh, yes. No, we agree.
So,
and the technology is certainly moving. Of course, a big issue is going to be who controls it and for what purpose. One of the things that I wrote to in my real life in a monograph a while back had to do with, you know, I came up and said, look, the nation state is a failing concept, meaning that countries as we've known them are no longer as significant as they were in the past.
Well, I certainly agree with that, and I can't imagine a Galactic Federation allowing membership from individual countries. Got to be a planet. You know, the UN doesn't allow cities to join. Why would the Galactic Federation especially allow a primitive society like ours, whose major activity is tribal warfare, to
join? They would look at us as an entire planet, not a bunch of tribes or countries or whatever. They didn't think of us in those terms.
Right. We're all Earthlings.
So we have to then get to the point of, if the ET representatives come here, whoever and whatever they are, and they say, take us to your leader, to whom do we take them?
There isn't one.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, one of the things I point out is that, you know, there's now 196 countries.
Something
like that. You know, we get totally focused on the U.S., and we're only 4% of the global population, 6% of the land mass, less than 2% of the surface. So why is it that you got to come here? When I get political, I say, why wouldn't they go to a rising power like China, Brazil, or India?
or India, yes.
Would they even care about our local politics? Why would it make a difference to them?
Because we are a threat to them.
How are we a threat to them unless we can take off and go there? How are we a threat to them if we just try to destroy ourselves?
If you look at the trend in technology, using nuclear fusion, we can take off and go there.
Not yet. Maybe 100 years from now.
You're going to wait until the guy is standing on your doorstep with a bomb? I don't think so.
So therefore, that dictates that they would be hostile. They'd come here and say, either get your act together, as they said in the movie Day the Earth Stood Still, get your act together or we'll take you out.
No, it's get your act together before you come out to bother us.
They are not going to do a preemptive strike.
I think there are some rules about that.
We hope.
I think there are rules.
You have to hope there is a prime directive, a non-interference treaty or agreement amongst the powers of this galactic federation that say, leave those earthlings alone. If they get a little too close for comfort, we could stop them, head them off with a pass, or convey a proper message. Sure.
Yeah. That's
well, where do you
point.
Come down on that, John? What do you think about this conversation?
Very similar, actually. The point is that I think that any agency out there, I think these movies that show the hostile interaction are just totally specious. They're not going to fight us mano a mano like Battlefield L.A. And to those people who say, well, E.T.'s here and they're benevolent and helping us, I say, if they came with the four horsemen of the apocalypse. They certainly have not done anything to help with, Stan mentioned the wars that are ongoing, poverty, food, water scarcity, the whole, geography and,
you don't give a three-year-old a loaded gun to play with.
I'll tell you what, we don't know if we're 3 years old or five. We have Stanton Friedman and John Alexander collectively a lot more than three or 3-0, but not 300. If you're listening to Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com. For 58 years, Fate has provided true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate brings you the latest in all aspects of the paranormal, like angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, and much, much more. To receive your complimentary Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Jason Lewis here. We talk daily about all the crazy stuff happening around the world. Concerns with the economy, job loss, and natural disasters, just to name a few. Let me ask you, what are you doing to be prepared? How will you provide for your family in an emergency? Well, for my preparation, I recommend WiseFoodStorage.com. WiseFoodStorage.com offers delicious, ready-made, freeze-dry meals that carry a 25-year shelf life, and you prepare them in minutes by simply adding water. Wise Food Storage entrees are packaged in individual metal Mylar pouches, then stored in convenient grab-and-go plastic containers for freshness and easy transport. Go to WiseFoodStorage.com today to request a free entree sample. And for a limited time, enter the promo code Lewis to get free shipping on any order. Call 855-FOOD-WISE. That's 855-366-3947 or visit WiseFoodStorage.com. WiseFoodStorage.com, gourmet emergency food at the best price.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you.
Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
How would you like to have normal blood pressure?
This is Ernesto from Illinois. I had my doctor's appointment yesterday, and I got my labs in. My HDL is 119L, and my LDL is 37L. My doctor asked what I was doing to lower it so much, so I told her about HB Extract.
Millions of people, like Ernesto, are suffering from high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, and clogged arteries. But now there's an effective, natural, 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation. Heart and Body Extract.
My blood pressure has not gone past 125 over 80 in almost a month.
Experience amazing benefits when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract.
She did a double take when she looked at my ER labs. She couldn't believe it.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
Thank you. Heart and Body Extract.
Hi, this is Ted Phillips, listening to the Paracast, and it's as good as it gets, believe me.
Hey there, neighbors. If you have a comment or a question about the Paracast, we want to hear from you first. Write us news@theparacast.com. Once again, that's news@theparacast.com. Our final segment, folks, with Gene and Chris and the Paracast, with John Alexander and Stanton Friedman, a very amiable debate about the issues. So, in the end here, we'd be a threat to E.T. if we go there and bring our bombs, but otherwise not. But then again, doesn't that present the possibility that our visitors have to be a potential threat? So, John Alexander, if you're saying the government doesn't really care, doesn't that show even a theoretical possibility that they must care?
No, simply does not meet this goal. There's one number that's important. And that number today is 14,718,598,000,000, etc., etc. And that's the debt. That overwhelms everything. Just, as I said before, not on the scope. They just haven't got time to listen.
Well, I certainly agree with John that I can see no signs of people on this planet mounting a group to go out there and bother them. I would agree with that. On the other hand, one might ask, what are we spending this year, $1 trillion on things military? Some people might say there might be a better way to spend that money.
Sure, but we're not spending it on the space program, certainly. We've cut back on the space program. You'd think if we had the slightest inkling that E.T. was out there, wouldn't that be an incentive to enhance our space program? Or do either of you believe in a secret space program that is really accomplishing whatever we expect the public space program to accomplish?
In my view, not in the slightest.
I haven't seen the movie Apollo 18. I haven't seen it yet. So
you better hurry because that thing's going to disappear from the multiplex in about an hour.
Don't waste your money.
Yeah, not going to last long. But no, the point is that we're actually in space. We're in transition in two areas. One is moving into the civilian sector. We're going to take over. The other has to do with the leader is going to become China. And, you know, they're en route to the moon and beyond. So they're the ones that are going to be pressing it. Do we have a secret program? Well, we have just used up all the money in the piggy bank and borrowed a whole lot more. So, and it stands right when he starts talking about if we had these technologies, you would have seen it. We got
wars that have just been eating our lunch. And I think the American public just do not even begin to understand, you know, what the costs are going to be. You mentioned $1 trillion. We've got, you know, $3 trillion locked up in these wars when you amortize everything. There's not left over. And you look at what was going on in Apollo, we're down, you know, an order of magnitude below that in spending.
Well, and you know what bugs me is that when I worked on the space program, I and everybody else I knew in the space program thought that by this time we'd have had a base on the moon, we'd have gone to Mars. And what I find most disquieting is that I think what's been missing is leadership. I look at Admiral Rickover getting the nuclear navy moving, despite the opponents and the battleship boys and all that sort of stuff. And I look at, I've worked on at least four different programs that needed Rickover's kind of leadership. Some people hated his guts, I realize that. But he said, this is where we're going, let's get there. If you don't want to go there, get off the train. And we haven't had any space leadership since Kennedy said get to the moon by the end of the decade. We just want the money coming in. So, John, I'm glad you mentioned the civilian space program. Let the civilians get in the act. What characterizes capitalism is the right to fail. Look at all the computer companies that don't exist anymore. But some guys have done very well. That competition is what drives things. And seeing that there's a benefit to be gained if you are successful. And we haven't done that with space, I'm afraid. And I'm terribly disappointed with that because I thought my great-grandson would be growing up in a much more space-related time than we are. That's a disappointment to me. I think we blew it.
Well, yeah, what do we do then to bring it back? Is there a way or an incentive to convey the impression that we really have to get into space? I would have thought the UFO mystery would have done it, but what do I know?
Well, I think there's a national security aspect there that gets in the way.
Yeah, I don't. I think what's happening now, and what's happened, I know both Bert Rutan and Bob Bigelow, and what Bert attacked in Spaceship One is basically the business model. You know, for $25 million, he built Spaceship One, the White Knight, two separate rocket designs, and all the supporting mechanism, and NASA couldn't do the paperwork for that. I was recently talking to Bob at Access. I wanted to confirm some things, and I was amortizing his cost based on, you know, cubic footage available of an object in orbit. And his, I asked him, and he said, I had guessed it was about 30 to 1, and he said, that's very conservative. So the point is that these people are attacking the business model. Now, Virgin Galactic right now, I'm looking at their numbers, 430 people have signed up to become astronauts at $200,000 a pop. So there are some things to be gained, you know, money to be made there.
Well, we're probably in full agreement on the need for the private space program. The government had its shot at it and blew it, as far as I'm concerned.
We need a Dr. Hans Zarkov to invent his spaceship, and that's how we solve the problem. John Alexander, you listened, as you have in the past, to what Stanton Friedman has said about UFO secrecy, the cosmic Watergate. Has he said anything that changes your opinion in any way?
No, but one of the things I'd like to say is, because I get asked about my agenda, and it's really quite simple and a little different, and that is that I think what we need to do is to make it permissible for scientists to get actively involved in these fields without risking their reputation or livelihood.
Hear, hear. That's a biggie.
Yeah, I constantly rail about the ancient academics and fossilized physicists who stand in the way of people doing what needs to be done because, oh, my God, don't tell anybody I'm interested. I might lose tenure.
Well, you're way past that, Stan.
Me? Yeah, I'm well past that. I don't worry about tenure. I'm my own boss. Thank goodness.
Okay, so I will ask the same question.
If he's like me, you can see the scars.
Stan, I'll ask the same question of you. Anything you've heard from John Alexander during the past couple of hours or so change any of your viewpoints at all?
Well, we are certainly in agreement about a number of things, let's face it. And I was very interested in his comments about Corso and stuff. And I think we disagree about how deep is the cover-up. He doesn't think there is one. I say there is one, but it's very deep. And I wish somebody who was part of that would come forward. Darn it, make my life a lot easier.
Hear, hear. But it's kind of doubtful at this point that they'll do it. If they've been able to keep it a secret, assuming it is a secret for over 60 years, how can anyone expect they would possibly suddenly reveal something unless they were forced to do so? Stanton Friedman, where do we find more of the things that you talk and write about?
Say that again? Oh, I misunderstood the question. Try my website at www.stantonfriedman.com. It lists the books. It lists the upcoming lectures. And some provocative articles, including a long one on Majestic 12, which deals with the objections that have been made over the years. Try it out.
Okay, John Alexander, where do we find more of the things that you write about?
Well, of course, my latest book is UFOs, Myths, Conspiracies, and Realities. I cover a lot of different areas, phenomenology being only one of those, and my website is the same thing, my name, www.johnbalexander, that's Bravo, which in the middle initial is important, johnbalexander.com.
Okay, so you'll both obviously answer letters from your readers. Chris, where do we find more of your stuff?
Well, I'm a moderator at forum.theparacast.com, and I have a website called OurStrangePlanet.com. It is a strange planet, and it's our strange planet.
A special thank you to both John Alexander and Stanton Friedman. Thank you, gentlemen, for being
a part
of this week's episode of The Paracast.
Been fun.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, Ted Anderson announcing a great way to listen to radio on the telephone. By calling 760-569-7700, you'll be hearing GCNLive.com programs in seconds. Come to GCNLive.com, find your favorite host's dedicated phone number, and hear them 24-7. You heard me right, every show has a dedicated phone number. Stop by GCNLive.com and bookmark their number today. And again, that's 760-569-7700. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.